the races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday. Three-year-old Philly fans. Unbelievable. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com, even though Casey had to, I mean, he just did magically going to start the show, and the computer tells him, you're out of space, you're out of space. And he somehow magically cleared space and started the show. Clear space for a fun morning of conversation. If you follow on Twitter, you know that I was just, and I'm sure so many others, everybody, I don't know how you don't latch on to the weekend's storyline of the three-year-old Phillies. The three-year-old Phillies on dirt, the three-year-old Phillies on turf, and the three-year-old Phillies on synthetic. The efforts of Nest, of Spenderella, and Moira, and I don't want to leave Haughty out, who ran a terrific race in the Lake Placid to plenty of people's consternation, although plenty of people absolutely loved her to wire that field. I thought she'd get engaged and collared. Anyway, immaterial. We'll get back to that. The three big efforts in the grade ones or two grade ones, and of course, you know, Queen's Plate is restricted, so it's not eligible for grading, but the three big races. I mean, when you've got the first leg and the classic distance of the Canadian Triple Crown and the classic distance of the Alabama and the kind of assembly you get when it comes to the Del Mar Oaks, I don't know how much more impressive three winners could have been. Four, if you count Haughty. Starting with Nest. Let's start with the Dirt Classic. We'll work our way. We're gonna talk to Kevin Attard first, the Queen's Plate winning trainer. And when it came to Nest, okay. And all, I was going to say, all three of these are favored. Shockingly, and I guess it was because she was outposted, somehow Spenderella, or excuse me, not Spenderella, somehow Moira ended up going off as the second choice behind Rondour, which I didn't, at post time, I hadn't noticed that. And it wasn't until afterward, in fact, when the chart went up, I was like, seriously? Moira didn't go favored. But starting, we'll talk to Kevin at 9:20. Nest's performance was anticipated, obviously, but there was no
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The nine-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick five with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire, Maryland's 5/8 mile.
Well, I guess Casey just texted me that. No, that's all right, Case. Turn it down. I guess you lost me. I'm talking away. I have no idea when you lost me, but here I am. I was saying that I was a little surprised that Gerrymander was not closer early on. I thought that, you know, people asked, what's a scenario where Ness gets beat? And it seemed to me that, you know, if somebody, and Gerrymander was the candidate, was to get a lead. I mean, she's keen, a horse that has had a lead or been near the lead in the last two, trying to break her maiden and then breaking her maiden at Saratoga going the mile in the eighth. But, you know, that was setting slow fractions. Gerrymander, you know, Gerrymander's speedy and you know, adept at one turn. And so you thought that, you know, that was a scenario that if Gerrymander got to the front and, you know, somehow was able to steal away, or that to me, that was the only alternative script in this spot. And turns out, of course, that, you know, she's keen, goes for the lead, takes the lead, and Ness just sits comfortably. And you know, when Ortiz says go, she goes. And Secret Oath, you know, Secret Oath put in, I thought, a very good effort. It's not like she didn't rally, and you know, for those that were angling for that, you got the effort, you know, you were hoping for, not a winning effort, but a, you know, very solid effort. Nest, obviously, with this win, I mean, some weird things would have to happen in the Cotillion and in the Spinster, in the, I guess, the Beldame, and potentially, or the, you know, and then the Breeders' Cup Distaff. Something would have to go really perfectly, I guess, for Secret Oath. I mean, she's the candidate. But it really does feel like Nest went a long way here to wrapping up the three-year-old Philly Championship. I mean, more to do. There's more to do, obviously. And that, you know, I'm not anointing. But this was a terrific performance. Kind of helped set the tone for, you know, what came later at Del Mar, later in the evening. And, in fact, I tweeted that. I thought that, as we'll talk to Graham Motion at 10 o'clock, I thought Spenderella's effort. I mean, I picked Bella Bell. I thought maybe Spenderella, you know, gets a little bit compromised by the outside draw. No, she wasn't compromised by anything. She was spectacular. I mean, that was, I guess until Moira's win yesterday, the Spenderella thing was, I mean, that was, you know, kind of a, whoa, eye popper, you know, coming back. And we'll talk to Graham about, you know, how she prepared for this, you know, out of the Royal Ascot performance, which was spectacular in itself. So Spenderella. And boy, you know, I hadn't thought about this in a lot of ways. She's got a little bit of a Justify style campaign going, right? Didn't debut until February. You know, wins at Gulfstream, wins the Here Comes the Bride, wins the Appalachian, goes to Royal Ascot, runs a corker, and now comes back and wins the Grade One. Karakantai, this is, and happens to be a New York bred, as it happens, just where Anthony Beck decided to have the Philly drop. But Tyler Gaffalione, got to give Tyler tremendous credit. A terrific ride. And you know, it's funny, watching it, and my eyes were on Bella Belle, and price-wise, what, 6-5 on Spenderella, and a little over 5-2 on 7-2 on Bella Belle, and third choice Cairo Memories, who attended the pace, that Graceland Gray was setting. And Cairo Memories ran terrific to hold third. You would have thought that Cairo Memories would have gotten swallowed up. But the top three favorites run 1-2-3 here. And give Gaffalione a ton of credit, because they got to the turn and he had somehow made it over to like the 2.5 path. He was no more than 2.5 wide going into the turn. And was not, you know, didn't have to be hustled or used to gain that position. So a terrific ride by Tyler Gaffalione. I'm sure Graham Motion will acknowledge that portion of it. And from that point, you know, just, again, like Nest, was somewhat push button. And, I mean, I hate that term, and horsemen hate that term, because it's, you know, it's not really... not really accurate, but you know, when it's more succinct than saying when asked, or when, you know, when so and so said go. That gets us to Woodbine and yesterday's terrific card. Certainly the stakes sequence, and got to mention that. Again, that Philo D'Ariana, Cassie, and Barber Wachtel Deutsch. This is a very nice horse that keeps winning. Good, nice run for Cassie, actually, all day. Fev Rover also with a mild upset of the Canadian for Tracy Farmer. A good Tathan filly. A stallion I don't think I've ever seen the name before. Gets us to the, in some ways, the most stunning three-year-old filly of the weekend. And we're going to talk to Kevin in 5-6 minutes, so I won't dwell on this. But that was a blitzkrieg. Rafael Hernandez, just as chilly as can be. At first I thought, boy, is he too far back with her? And then in literally, I mean, a 16th of a mile midway on the backstretch, I only watched it live, actually. I did not watch the replay yet. I mean, I've seen little Twitter video clips of the move on the turn, but it sure seemed to me that she dragged Hernandez from, well, the chart says 9th, 8th, 7th, 3rd. So it wasn't like she was being asked much. You know, he may have smooched at her and said, "All right, mama, let's go, I suppose. But it wasn't, there wasn't a lot of ask that put her in the red. And you knew going into the turn, the way she was motoring, that this was over. It was over going into the turn. I was like, oh, she's just going to go. And she went by them all like they were tied to a post. I unbelievable, actually. Just amazing. Hall of Dreams. We got to give, I mentioned Cassie. Hall of Dreams, and for Barbara Wachtel Deutsch and Schlieffer. Don't forget that. Can't leave out Len Schlieffer, who's in on Hall of Dreams. Hall of Dreams, almost, 17? 16 to 1. And Surf for Sure, 17 to 1 behind. So I got beat in the nightcap out of another $700 or $800 in pick fours and pick five. But the Queen's Plate, kind of softened yesterday. Was torturous. I am at wit's end, to be honest. I you don't hear me like this too often, but between the DQ and the non-DQ the first couple of weeks, which was worth $3,000 in pick fours and pick five, and then a couple of just, you know, regular beats, I just feel snake bit. But this was good. And I gave in to Moira. You know that in the Woodbine Oaks, I was trying to get clever, and she convinced me in the Woodbine Oaks, and I'm glad that went in that direction. For those of you that played Beat Bic, I haven't gotten the stats yet, but I imagine this was a pretty active weekend. And those of you that came along with Moira, I went with Bella Bell on Saturday. So another, you know, got a nice second out of that one. But for those that believed in Spenderella, you beat Bic on Saturday. I didn't leave the door open yesterday with Moira. I'm sure some people, you know, tinkered around. I bet you quite a few people came along. I think, I mean, although for her to go off at $1.80 and Rondeur goes off at $1.55, it wasn't even that close in terms of favoritism. I when I saw the chart, I was taken aback. Was very surprised. Anyway, $200 triple, which was great for a buck. So, the Queen's Plate. Kevin Attard's going to join us in a matter of moments, actually, as soon as I give Casey the number. There was so much went on, and so much is going to go on today on these airwaves. Kevin Attard, we are going to have John Service this hour, and haven't had a chance to congratulate on the radio. I did it on Twitter, but Friday, and I couldn't be at the track on Friday, and I was very disappointed because I was with Will. Johnny and I were with Will and John Service for the Molly Pitcher when she ran valiantly against Search Results on Haskell Day, and John Service brings back leader of the band. Bandbox, the first great Tappet. Bandbox. Leader of the band, 96 buyer, winning the Summer Colony, and did it like a champ. Johnny V aboard. Will Schwartz, that fabulous head of white hair, leading leader of the band right in. Right? Yeah. Will's got something of a, I don't know, kind of like a Bolshevik revolution thing going. A little bit. Kind of an angle. tremendous win for Will. Is absolutely thrilled. Now that goes back to Friday. So John Service this hour. Graham Motion will join us and talk about Spenderella and a few others. A few other performances that Graham has authored. In fact, he won the Steak Friday too, right? Yeah, he won the CTT TOC with Sister O'Toole, with Umberto Rispoli. Yeah, and recently yesterday, Warren's Candy Girl for Craig Lewis. Good for Craig Lewis. Spins Warren's Candy Girl right back to win the Solana Beach yesterday. So that's just part of the action. Case, let me give you Kevin, because Kevin's number may not be so conveniently at your fingertips. And then I'll tell you what else is going on today, because there's no shortage of action. I mean, here it is Monday, and there's a bunch of things to get you involved in. First of all, we're going to talk, not first, I think maybe middle, John Dooley's going to visit. We haven't talked to John in ages. And there's a pick five carryover at Horseshoe Indy. So be aware of that. And then there's a couple of stakes, Indiana bred stakes on Wednesday at Shelbyville. Then Chris Griffin. It's Pennsylvania Day at the Races. All PA bred action today at Parks. I think it's an 18. Is it an 18 race card? No, I'm kidding. It's, I think, a 13. It is a 13 race card, though, I believe. 13 or is it 13 or 14? 13. That's the matinee. And then actually they come back tomorrow as well with I think 12, including the Smarty Jones. Yeah, two terrific cards at Parks today and tomorrow. The Pennsylvania, we'll talk to, and since we're going to have John Service, what, you, come on, you, huh? Huh? What, is it my first day? But they just land in this seat? Of course we got John Service, because he's got a bunch of horses running this, exactly. Come on. Are we kids or what? Huh? Who's out there? Who can you attribute that to? Are we kids or what? Thank you, JJ, for what I consider sound advice. Huh? Little sweet smell of success in hour one. Huh? Little JJ Hunsicker for you. If Hovde's listening, I'll hear from Hovde. Kevin Attard is joining us the morning after a Queen's Plate victory, and it's not easy being the anticipated favorite. Turned out she didn't go favored, but that wasn't your fault, Kev, or the Phillies' fault. Congratulations.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, appreciate it. Yes, yeah. I actually didn't realize she didn't go off as favorite until afterwards. I know she was kind of the favorite for most of the time, but I guess as they went into the gate, Ronder took a lot of late action.
Well, there's a very famous expression here in New York: they knew. In this case, they didn't know. But yeah. they should have known. They should have known. Kevin, even if you anticipated winning this, you could not have envisioned that she would just demolish this field.
You're absolutely right. You know, like, I knew she was coming into the race in good order. Obviously, she was very impressive when she won the Canadian Oaks in her last start. You know what I mean? I thought this was obviously a tougher race. She was going to have to run as good or better to win. But she just showed another dimension, and she's just turning out to be a very special filly.
There's a few things. The synthetic surface lends itself to her style traditionally. Although when that surface is tight, speed can do very, very well. But talk about the way this unfolded, because I thought early, I'm thinking, hey, she's going to have to pass a bunch here, and I wasn't sure. But then midway on the backstretch, it seemed like she dragged Raphael into the race.
Yeah, you know, she definitely settled really well, and the pace was keen enough where I thought, you know what, we have a chance to close. I don't think somebody's going to steal it. But, you know, she kind of sits there. She relaxes so well that it almost kind of deceives you a little bit as to, you know, how much horse he has underneath him. And then, he got her into position where she got her to the outside, just past probably the 5/8 pole, and the three-horse Ironstone kind of pressed the pace leader, the Minkster, and they kind of opened up a little bit. And I said, well, we got to get going now if we're going to have a chance to win this. And And as they kind of rolled around the 3-8, she was kind of coming to them. And by the time she hit the quarter pole, she was just kind of right with them and just kind of coasting. And obviously it got really exciting at that point. And, you know, she just accelerated from there.
You heard the crowd react to it, and the way she swept to the lead, and then, I mean, just was widening with every stride, and wins off. There's always an element of this. We deal with it leading into Derby, the mile and a quarter, and you project that she's going to take to it. She's a ghost zapper out of the Unbridled Song mare, so there's nothing there that you would expect to limit her distance and route going capability. It seems after watching this that this is actually in her wheelhouse.
Yeah, definitely. You know, she did that pretty comfortably. Looked like she could go on and run further if she needed. So she's obviously handled everything we've kind of thrown at her really well, and we look forward to what the future holds for her.
Well, we'll talk about the future in just a little bit. Let's fold in the other fun elements about her. And I know we talked a little bit about it after the Oaks. One of the questions will be, it seems long term, how she got beaten the Mazarine, but that's you don't have to worry about that now. But just talk about how much she's developed, and how much more growing does she have to do, and is there anything missing that you foresee kind of rounding out her entire resume and her the kind of horse she is?
Yeah, well, obviously, we thought highly of her as a two-year-old. I ran her in a stake first time out going two turns. Like you said, her loss in the Mazarine, it was, the weather conditions were very poor that day. I think the track kind of got probably a little too deep for her, maybe not to her liking. She had a good winter off. She kind of rested at Margot, started some early training up there in Kentucky, and then was shipped up north back to me. And, she grew over the winter. She kind of filled into herself a little bit more. Her work's kind of took off from where she left off last year, and she just continued to progress as the spring went along. And obviously, by the time we got her to the races, we had to sprint her to start because we couldn't get a two-turn race for her to go. And, I wasn't too keen on that because I don't think she's a sprint type of horse, but I think just her natural ability and class got her to win that day. And obviously that helped set us up for the Oaks. And, I guess the rest is history now.
I do have a question that came in from our friend Vince the Stevedore. He was wondering, had she lathered up like that before starts? Was that typical or untypical?
So, So yesterday I think the lathering was more because she wears a breastplate. So it was very muggy yesterday. So I think just the friction along the chest where the breastplate sits, I think that was more the lather that you were seeing as opposed to kind of nerves when a horse typically kind of lathers out on the neck, right? I wasn't too worried because that was the only spot I really kind of noticed her lathering up on, and I just contributed to the breastplate kind of just sliding up and down and kind of causing that lather.
Ah, there you go. How much more growing does she have to do, do you project?
Well, obviously she's a young horse still, right? Just basically, kind of coming into her really three-year-old year, right? So she's a big filly. I think there's a lot of room for her still to kind of to grow and develop and fill out. So I think, like I said, I think, she's got a bright future ahead of her, and hopefully we can have it kind of continue with her three-year-old campaign and look to maybe some bigger things later on in her four-year-old season down the road.
Let's survey before I ask you about the night you had and you know, the things you thought about. But talk about the ownership team and racing in Mattaket's colors, and SF involved and X-Men Racing, Rafael Hernandez. Talk a little bit about how everybody came together.
Yeah, obviously, I have to thank Donato Lanny first and foremost, right? He put this group together. He gave me the opportunity to be a part of it. So I'm forever thankful for that. For a guy like me to be training for, SF and Mattaket, that's, it's pretty special to me. I appreciate that very much. It opens the door up for a lot of things. Very grateful. Obviously, we were lucky to have Rafael, and he had a decision to make kind of going into the plate, obviously coming off of riding two winners that were both very impressive and they're both last starts. Luckily for us, we had the right horse yesterday on the right day, I got to kind of win my first Queen's Plate with Rafael. So that's obviously a very special and fond moment.
You opened the door. Talk about it. Talk about, very frequently we talk about the Attard family and what it means to win a Queen's Plate.
Yeah, obviously the Attard family is, a big name in Canadian racing. My father, my uncles, one was a jockey. They all had successful careers. I have a bunch of cousins that have trained as well that have been highly successful, and one cousin that's married to another successful trainer. So there's a long kind of storied history in kind of racing in Ontario here at Woodbine with the Attard family. And obviously, the Queen's Plate is such a historic event. It's kind of, the Super Bowl of, Canadian racing as a comparison, right? For me to kind of, engrave my name along the list of Queen's Plate winners is a very special thing, and it's a childhood dream, right? This is something I've kind of worked hard to get to and wanted to be in this position, and just thankful for all the people that helped me along the way, a lot of owners and obviously staff members. Couldn't do it without them, so just very thankful. I just feel so much gratitude, now we're kind of going to look to hopefully adding another Queen's Plate victory down the road.
Am I correct in noting Larry Attard is the only family member with a plate to the credit?
That's correct. Yeah, that is correct. As a jockey, he won the Queen's Plate with Von Pagel. Not sure exactly the year. I want to say maybe 1984. I could be wrong there. But from a trainer perspective, I am the first Attard to win win the Queen's Plate.
And I just looked it up. 83, Bompego, for John Cardella.
Okay. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And Larry, I always have to ask you these connections. Larry is?
He's my uncle. He's the youngest of the brothers. He had obviously an illustrious career as a jockey. I think he actually won the last or the 12th race yesterday as a trainer. He's gone on to train now, and he's kind of, only has a couple horses for himself. And he loves loves the game, and the game's done well for him. And he's just kind of, enjoying semi-retirement and still kind of being active in the sport.
Yeah, Hall of Famer for those Canadian racing Hall of Famer, Larry Attard, and won Sovereign Awards had a terrific career in the irons. Well, the obvious question now, and I mentioned the Ghost Zapper breeding. We should also tip the cap to Frank Stronach and Adina. for breeding this one, for breeding Moira. The dirt, I mean, by all rights, Kevin, you got to be confident about going to Fort Erie, no?
So, you know, I'm not sure what the future holds next. We're going to just kind of enjoy this moment right now. Obviously, you know, that's going to be a viable option for her. But we will discuss that first with the connections and try to figure out what maybe the long-term goal is and kind of work from there and decide what kind of suits her best.
Well, you know, I didn't actually, I didn't look up the timing. Are we on short timing or not?
It's about 3.5 weeks, I think, from the play to the to the Prince of Wales.
Okay, so yeah, so two. Let's see. So what's today? Today's the 22nd. So it's got to be one.
I believe
two,
it's the 13th of September.
Yeah, the Tuesday. They go with that that Tuesday. Race. Yeah, there you go. September 13th. And obviously, you know, the mile and a half breeders, you would think, on the grass, you know, based on the way she moves on the synthetic, you wouldn't think that that's an issue either.
No, I think she'll really appreciate the turf, actually. I'm kind of looking forward to getting her on the turf at some point. I think she might really thrive over that kind of footing. So, obviously, the distance of the breeder is going a mile and a half, too. I don't think that would be a problem for her at all.
Now, Moira, and some reaction locally. She was a little keyed up. Did Michael Burns, was he able to get a decent picture? Because she was not happy.
Yeah, she doesn't like to stand still for too long. So I'm not sure, you know, I mean, if he was able to kind of to get a good shot during the winner's circle, she definitely didn't want to kind of cooperate too much. But, you know, I mean, she's the star of the show, so she dictates the rules.
We should also, before we let you go, we should certainly touch on a few of the other performances, because you won the Soaring Free on Saturday with Philip My Dear. You ran second and third in the King Eddie with Harlan Estate and the Ewell Wellings Hadassah. You had a nice maiden breaker early on the card, the first horse you sent out on the day, Gaston, with Kaz Kimura. Talk a little bit about the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad weekend at all. Obviously, you know, I mean, coming into this kind of a week, you want to start off on the right foot. So we had a couple winners to kind of kick it off. It was good. Obviously, the win in the Soaring Free was really nice. That's a nice colt that looks like he has a bright future. As you said, both horses, Harlan Estate and Hadassah, I thought ran really well in the King Edward. You know, I mean, the horse that won the race, he's you know, I mean, probably the best older horse here in the country, so there was no disgrace in running second to him. And Gaston, you know, that's another Canadian bred that probably will be targeting a race like the Breeders down the road. You know, he's bred to run all day long. He seems to handle the turf well, and I think he's an improving sort of individual that with some more experience is going to get better.
You know, they should mention this horse. He's a hard spun. And Saintsbury Farm bred this one out of a Galileo mare, you know, was looking to break the maiden off of a couple of placements, and was a bargain purchase too as a yearling.
Yeah, he's a good looking individual. You know, you were really kind of high on him from the beginning and thought at one point that he may be actually one of our better Queen's Plate prospects. Kind of a few setbacks before he got to the races, and kind of took a little longer than we had obviously hoped or anticipated. But you know, I mean, he's showing some worth, and he's getting better. And you know, I think he's got a decent future ahead of him.
You know, I'm just looking that mare, the Galileo mare, was trained by Christophe's brother, Nicholas Clement, and. That catches my eye, so you can laud that over Christophe when you get a chance. And let me see what the figure got. A 79 buyer.
Is that what he got? Good, nice. Yeah, that's solid enough, decent enough.
Absolutely. You started on the synthetic. In fact, you know, by all rights, that's, you know, this is funny. This is another horse, Kevin, that you had to start out sprinting and had no business running as well as he did on the debut in June.
Yeah, his debut race was actually phenomenal. And you know, I mean, the reason we sprinted him was we still had some kind of clean slate aspirations for him at the time. We were trying to get him through the races, and the way the kind of condition book was lining up, things kind of weren't falling the direction we kind of, you know what I mean, I would ideally have liked to have seen. So we decided to kind of get a race into him, and that would have been sprinting. And, you know, he had to come up the inside. It was a tight little hole there for him to try to squeeze up. He showed some really, you know, good grit and determination, and he just kind of got beat. So maybe bounced a little bit in the second start. He's putting it together, and we're kind of excited about him.
Huh. I'm glad this horse came up. For those of you that didn't catch it, it's Gaston, G-A-S-T-O-N. I'm giving you my best Quebecois accent on Gaston.
Pretty good.
well, listen, 10 years in Montreal, and all I ever came away with was je suis Américain.
Very good.
Kevin, absolutely thrilled with this result. And in fact, speaking of my 10 years in Montreal, my friend Genevieve, her mother's name is Moira. And so I let her know about Moira. And so she was all excited. And I promised her I'd get a win photo with you and Raphael autographed on it. So I'm going to hit
good.
You up for that.
I look forward to doing that. Yes,
I love it. Kevin Attard, everybody. You follow Kevin on Twitter, Kevin_Attard. And the first training plate for the family. Kevin, well done. Continued success. Talk soon. Kevin Attard, everybody. He's terrific. You know, I've gotten to know him over the last, I don't know, four or five years, right? Starship Jubilee. I mean, that was we Starship Jubilee. We would talk. it was almost like you'd talk every 60 days. It seemed like when she was rolling, and plus she trains. He trains for our friends the Ullwellings, and they had that Pumpkin Rumble was a nice stake winner for Bill and Al and for Kevin. Does a terrific job, and it's pretty amazing actually when you think about it. Between all of the the training at Arts, I'd have to go dig through the media guide. But Jamie, Joe, Kevin, Larry, Paul, Sid, Steve, and Tino, the training at Arts family. And in fact, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them are active. So I should really look that up. How many plate runners the Attard family had. Well, that was fun. I was looking forward to it. I always enjoy the plate congratulatory conversation. We're going to have a congratulatory conversation with John Service next. And we'll get John in here, talk about Leader of the Band, and we'll talk about Pennsylvania Day at the races and quite a bit more because the next 2 days at Parks, you've got yourself really some nice races. And for those of you that haven't noticed yet, sometimes we get so caught up on the weekend. We're also going to – Brian Sanfratello swing through too, I'm sure, today. It's one of his kind of days when we get to focus on the PA breads. Today, in this extravaganza 13 race card, all Pennsylvania breads and fields of 10, 10, 12, 12, 10, 10, 9, 9, 12, 12, 10, 10, 13. Yeah, so you want full fields? Here they are. And when it comes to stake races, the Mrs. Penny goes as the sixth. There's an all-stakes pick four with the Dr. Garofalo, Teresa Garofalo, and that's the seventh. The Marshall Jenny is the eighth, and a little bit of everything. We got sprints, we got long, short, turf, dirt, the Miss Blue tie-dye, the whistle pig for the two-year-old sprinters. You got the banjo picker and the storm cat. So all those stakes, and we'll see about John Service's runners. And then tomorrow in Bensalem, the Smarty Jones, the three-year-old prep, the traditional prep, of course, for the Pennsylvania Derby next month. There's a field of 10. And Pioneer of Medina. You forgot about Pioneer of Medina. Makes the return, last seen in the Derby of Kentucky. Yes, it didn't go great, but that's neither here nor there. he was third in the Louisiana Derby, and he was fourth in the Risen Star. But Pioneer Medina comes back. This is an interesting field tomorrow in that Smarty Jones. Best actor for Brad Cox, bred by our friend Bo Lane. Flatter out of a Smart Strike mare that was second, a good second actuator in the Indiana Derby. This is Gary and Mary West, of course. McLean Hendricks wheels back Witty and stretches Witty out, which I thought was very interesting here. The Great Notion gelding coming out of the Jersey Shore try, where I thought he was super clever, but Todd beat us. Anyway, we'll go over that. There's also the Parks Dash and the Catherine Sophia. And I think with that, introduction, John Service is standing by, and he's ready to attack all of these races. Pennsylvania Day at the races, and then Pennsylvania Derby Day preview card. John, first and foremost, congratulations to you and Will Schwartz. Leader of the band comes to Saratoga and wins.
Thank you very much, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning, and I was sick that I couldn't be there. But it was certainly fun to watch, and the smile on Will's face to come to Saratoga, win a stake like that. Coming out of that, we were together for the Molly Pitcher, and she ran great. Wasn't beating search results that day, but what a clever spot to put her in on Friday.
Well, I appreciate that, but I can't take the credit for that. That was Will's idea to go to the Saratoga race. So, but I enjoyed spending the day with you guys at Monmouth, and we were just second best that day.
I love these races, and over the years, Saratoga has really, I think PJ Campo augmented it, and then subsequently they've added others. These restricted stakes, non-winners of a sweepstakes. Over the calendar year or over the last 12 months, it always brings together interesting horses. This was a salty bunch.
Yeah, it came up very salty. It's funny. I was telling Dave Granning about it in the interview, and I said, I was very confident when Will mentioned the race and as good as she was doing, I said, wow, that's going to be a great spot. And then when the noms came out and I was looking at the nominations, I was like, wow, this isn't what I thought it was going to be.
And then the entry box, because I was kind of watching, I was watching as well what was happening here, because I was, talking with Gary Siaka and Louis Lazanero, and they were trying to decide about maybe the personal ensign for Exotic West, or do you look at this spot? And, she had to deal with no Lasix in here, and it proved to be a bit of a problem. I was sort of watching. So when this field came together, I thought, oh my God, this is a graded stake. But that's what's so interesting about these conditions, because some of these are horses that maybe missed a portion of the year and are getting back into form. Others are some that have run at a high level and have, like Leader of the Band, who's really coming forward here, middle of her four-year-old year.
Yeah, those kind of races are really good introduction races for horses coming off a little bit of a layoff, you know, starting their year off. That's a good spot for a horse like that. For her, she just, you know, she's mentally and physically matured a lot, and she's getting good at the right time.
In terms of development, and this is a bandbox out of a Sir Cat mare, so it's not, you know, it's not necessarily a pedigree that, you know, is instantly familiar. But when you look at, whether you're looking on the sheets or whether you're looking even on the buyer scale, you can see that as she's aged and as she's grown, you know, she just keeps improving incrementally. You know, talk about what's responsible for that in terms of physical growth, maturity. You know, how does it manifest itself?
Well, I think it's a total package for her. I mean, she's matured physically. She's gotten bigger and stronger. But I would say probably the key point is mentally, she is a completely different horse. You know, as a young horse, she was a little bit of a handful. She was always amped up in the paddock, and, you know, we had to really school her a lot, and, you know, just to try to keep her settled. And she just turned the corner. Now she goes in there and stands there nice and quiet and doesn't use up a lot of energy in the paddock or the gate, and runs her race and is improved because of it.
Well, the figures, as mentioned, the figures keep ticking up incrementally. She's now knocking on the door of triple-digit buyers. She's adept at the classic distaff distance of 9 furlongs. Where do you go from here?
Well, that's a $10 million question. Will and I are going to sit down and talk about that. I know we talked a little bit after her race Friday, maybe giving her a little bit of a breather, you know, before we jump in the deep water and see how good she really is. Might be a good idea. They have a nice Pennsylvania bred race end of September. That's a pretty hefty purse. It's like a $200,000 purse. So I don't know. Will and I'll talk and decide whether we want to try, you know, a little easier spot next time and have her keep improving, or if we want to jump in the deep water and see how she does.
Well, and there's really no reason that you wouldn't think that, you know, the improvement keeps coming, and as a 5-year-old, as a fully mature mare, she might, you know, still have more to offer.
I mean, I hope so. I've always said that I think horses, their 5-year-old year to me is their best year. I always think that that's their peak year when they reach their top performance. So that's nice to think that she'll get even better.
Leader of the band. And you know, I hadn't even thought about it until now, but she's a May foal. And she, so, you know, the slightly delayed development shouldn't come entirely as a surprise.
No, I mean, you know, again, it's all with her, it's been mostly mental. So, you know, we've given her the opportunity to slowly figure it out, and she's done that.
Well, that is not a, you know, that, it, as it happens, Bandbox, of course, Tappet's first son at stud, and the Tappets are well known to be a little slow on the uptick when it comes to, you know, connecting all the dots of what they're being asked to do.
That is definitely true. They can be a handful to be kind.
I love it. Well, this a trip to Saratoga. You know, we should also fold in. I'm not going to dwell on the. I'm not going to dwell on Dave Grenig's statistical digging that he did, but you kind of got off the duck for a little bit of a period, John, with this win.
Yeah, you know, I can't remember the last time that, I mean, I don't run much up there anyway.
Yeah,
but I can't remember the last time I won a race up there.
Well, Dave. Dave dug it up. It jostled.
You know, I told him that. But I don't remember.
That's
quite honest with you.
That's we'll send everybody into the record books. Let's look ahead, though, John, to this afternoon and this Pennsylvania Day at the races. And you are well represented in the Mrs. Penny, Midnight Obsession, Love in the Air, in the Dr. Garofalo, Precious, and in the Stormcat, Irish Cork, plus in that fourth race, the Maiden Group, Pachelbel, and Chance Occurrence, as well as Ageless Endeavor in the first.
Yeah, we have a pretty busy day. We did have to scratch Chance Occurrence in the fourth race.
Okay.
But the rest of them are all running, and we are off the turf at Parks today.
Ugh. Oh, yeah. Jeez.
Which doesn't hurt my feelings at all.
Well, that turf course, somebody could spin on it, and it's a problem.
Well, that's why I'm glad they're off.
Let me see. So we're talking about the two stakes that come off. The Mrs. Penny comes off, and Butchie Reed gets in with 90% Brian, an MTO. That's the mile and the 16th. And then the turf sprint, the Marshall Jenny, comes off as well, as mentioned, and we'll see how that shakes things up. All right, so Midnight Obsession and Love in the Air there. Well, both good chances.
And they'll both run, Steve.
Nice.
They will run, both of those horses will run on the dirt with no problem.
Excellent. Love in the Air coming out of the Dr. Penny, a good third there behind Princess Grace. And Midnight Obsession, last seen in the Princess of Sylmar, behind Tactical Pajamas. And in fact, these are both Will, right? With his partner.
Yeah, no, actually, Love in the Air is Will and Lou, and Midnight Obsession is just Lou.
Ah, okay. All right. You need a program. What about Precious in the Dr. Garofalo and Irish Cork?
They're both doing great. I mean, Precious, that race, you know, with Chub Wagon in there, she's always tough to beat against PA breds. She kind of has her way with the PA breds. And she was, I guess she was a supplement. She wasn't even nominated. But, you know, if she stubs her toe, we'll be running late. I can tell you that.
How about the maidens? Tell us about Ageless Endeavor and Pachelbel.
Ageless Endeavor.
Oof. Nah, well, John having a little reception trouble with that phone. Yeah. No, I think we're.
Yeah, it's been not.
Oh. Yeah, you're in a bad spot, I think.
Can you hear me or no?
Not right there I did, but before that, no.
All right, I'm probably going to lose you then, Steve.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate this a lot, John, and good luck today. Get lucky. Get maiden tomorrow, Lady Thor in the ninth, and nothing in the three prep stakes, but this is a great chance to connect and congratulate John Service and our friend Will Schwartz, a win at Saratoga, leader of the band, and Will was absolutely blown away. Top of the hour is upon us, and perfect timing. Let's take the break. We got to come back with Graham Motion. Graham, of course, one of the three huge sophomore filly victories between Moira and Nest and his Spenderella. But Graham's actually, he kind of owes us a visit. There's two or three other recent stake wins I want to discuss with Graham Motion, as well as a couple of other recent maiden types and what lies ahead between now and the end of Saratoga. Chris Griffin is going to join us, speaking of the Pennsylvania Day at the races. Jessica Paquette and John Dooley, because there's tremendous Monday racing pretty much everywhere. There's the Monday Mid-Atlantic Pick 4 between Colonial and Monmouth. There's the Pick 5 carryover at Horseshoe, Indiana. And there's this tremendous 13-race card at Parks. I think Mig's going to join us later. I mentioned Brian Sanfratello. Lots to do. Two more hours to do it. Weekend recapping brought to you by Naira Bets. Back after this, SiriusXM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack